Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, titled, The Fellowship of His Sufferings. This is part 2 of 2.
Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. No, preacher. I went through a series of courses, and I got Beth Moore's books, and I've studied this out, and I've got videos, and they teach me to love myself and to look for ways for self-improvement, and that's what I get. Email after email over the years. And they're the most miserable people I deal with. Until you die to self, you're going to be miserable. And you're going to make the people you live with miserable. Jenny, whatever level of happiness she experiences as my wife, would not experience a tenth of that if I had the attitude of most Christian men today. And vice versa. A lot of the most miserable men I know are married to self-centered, self-loving, self-esteeming women. And I am happy to report that I am not miserable. I need to write Valentine's Day cards. My dearest Valentine, open it up. You make me not miserable. But for most people I know, that is an improvement. I see a lot of misery because of self-centeredness or being married to self-centeredness or living with self-centeredness. Read verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'll tell you what it'll profit you, an eternal lake of fire, if you're not saved. And if you are saved, your entire life will go up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. Because there's people who are saved. Amen. And they may even, when they first get saved, lay down their life, start living for the Lord, and then they pick their life back up. And that's disastrous. And I love you enough to tell you that. But I don't really have to. All I have to do is quote Jesus. You see, preachers out there that don't have the guts to preach this stuff, all you have to do is quote Jesus. It's not that hard. We should be hearing these sermons all over the world. Every church that claims to be a Bible-believing church, you should hear this. Amen. But you don't. They won't quote Jesus. They'll cherry-pick a quote here or there, but not in full. You hear all these liberals saying, I just go by the red letters. No, you don't, you liar. You don't go by the red letters. You hate most of the red letters. Most of those skinny jeans Christians would rip Matthew 23 out of their Bible if they could. And it's almost all red letters. Amen. Don't show of hands. Have you read Matthew 23 lately? I tell people all the time, if I didn't rebuke you, I wouldn't be Christ-like. Yeah. I'm just trying to be like Jesus. Go read Matthew 23. Amen. Amen. And he says in verse 37, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You can't give anything in exchange for your soul. You blow it, you blow it. Now read verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory with the holy angels. Listen, I am sure of my salvation. If you're saved, you should be sure of your salvation. But that verse should still concern you. It's not just about being saved. I've said this many months ago, but I'll say it again. Some of you didn't hear me possibly then. One of the worst and most foolish responses when you talk to somebody about right and wrong and what to do as a professing Christian, and they say, well, it's not like it'll send me to hell. That's the standard a lot of Christians have. Well, it's not like it's going to send me to hell. And so that's their right to do what they're doing. That's what they use as their excuse. That's a low standard. The fact is, when you get filled with the Spirit of God and His Word, you're going to agree with what I'm about to say. Suffering is a privilege.
Amen.
Yeah. Look at what. You got to turn over here if I can get there. Luke 6. Luke 6. I know you're getting hungry, so I'm going to close it up, but we're going to go to Luke 6 first. Luke 6, 22. This is going to seem unrealistic, but it's the words of Jesus. It's those red words again. Red words. Red words. Look at verse 22. Read that with me when you're there. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Look at that. Now he ain't done. He ain't done. Look, he says in verse 23. Read that. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. That's why when I'm on the street and I'm just holding a sign that tells people how to be saved, and some liberal jerk rolls his window down, cusses at me, tells me I'm number one with the middle finger, and I just laugh. You don't like that? You don't like Jesus' commandment, because He told me to do that. As a matter of fact, next time I go out, Charlie, I'm going to stay there, and the next time one of those jerks yells and screams and spews at me, the devil coming out of him, you know, I'm going to start going, yeah! Says leap for joy. I'm going to act like Ohio State just scored a winning touchdown against Michigan. Yeah! Yeah! Keep it coming. Come on. Bring it on. You don't know what the joy it brings to me. The joy it brings to me. And I'm just telling you this because I think some of you, I'm saying this because I love you, but you're perverted. You've got it totally backwards. You think if someone hates you and reviles you and spits at you, that that's something you should cry about. Now, I will tell you that because of disease, I don't want the spit. If that became a habit, I'd wear a face mask. You don't know where that spit's been. But if you can just learn to enjoy being hated. Amen. Somebody stand up and tell me I'm wrong if I'm wrong. That's Bible. It's Bible, and you won't hear it preached. You will not hear it preached in 1 in 1,000 churches, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm sick about that. The more the merrier. Come on, preachers, get a spine. I'd love to be just one face in the crowd of preachers preaching this. Wouldn't be as lonely, would it? But that's where we're at. And you don't have time to run all the references, but just think about all the, if you've been reading your Bible the way you're supposed to, you think about all the people that are in the same boat you're in. Noah, Jeremiah, you're in good shoes, good company. John the Baptist. Amen. That was the attitude of the apostles. Acts 5:41. After being persecuted, they were let go. And it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. See, some of you have been thinking, that preacher's a little crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I'm just born in the wrong century. I mean, you go back and read about John Huss. I mean, he gave the popes fits. And John Wycliffe, I mean, after he was dead, they dug him back up and burned his bones. And I think he was in heaven going, yeah! Burn, baby, burn! Yeah. And as long as you've got breath. Ain't too late, some of you old people. Some of you are looking like, is he looking at me? I didn't look at anybody, I looked at the wall. You old people, it's never too late. You still breathing? You know, there are some Christians who got saved, sold out for the Lord, went out to serve the Lord, and were dead within 6 months. Serving the Lord, they either were killed or died some way in service of the Lord. You think you might have 6 months left, you could do just as much. And they're heroes of the faith. You can read books about them. And then you can rejoice that you were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Even in sickness, as we grow older, as life happens, we can rest assured of His presence. But see, the thing is you grow close to Him now, and then when those days come, He's there with you. You don't have to scratch and claw to try to get to Jesus. You say, well, He's there anyway. Yes, He is, but just take my word for it. If you walk at a distance from Him spiritually, when those dark days come, and they're coming, if there's no rapture, every one of you are going to die. Every one of you going to have dark days. So now you grow close to the Lord, and then when those dark days come, He's right there. You're close already. You don't need to break the glass and grab the axe. And that's how most Christians, I call it soap opera Christianity. You watch it, I don't watch them anymore, but back in the 80s I watched Santa Barbara, Cruz and Eden and all that stuff. Some of you are like, what? And they would be as godless as anybody, but then when something bad happened, they'd break the glass and grab the axe. All of a sudden, they're praying. Godless, adultery, and all kinds of wickedness, but then something bad happens. Oh, God, where are You? And some people would mock that, but that's how a lot of Christians live. Yes. Only talk to Jesus when you have to break the glass. This is an important text. If you don't have this memorized or underlined in your Bible, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you will claim that and live close to the Lord, understanding it's true and God cannot lie, you will be blessed. In the good times and the bad. And final point, in our times of suffering, we find Jesus to be closer than we ever imagined. Musicians, would you come forward? In our times of suffering, we find Jesus to be closer than we ever imagined. Every time I stand at the graveside, I read Psalm 23. And there's one verse that stands out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me.
before you go on, how many of you knew that this was a song that they sang as the Titanic was going down?
Amen.
And that seems like an extreme thing. They knew they were going to die.
Yep.
Floating on whatever they could find to float on in chilly, ice, cold waters. Only those in rafts were going to survive. They kept playing on board on the ship, the orchestra. Let me tell you something. There were a lot of people that day who sang this, and they had not been near to God right up to that point.
Yeah.
And sadly, a lot of them were scared. Beyond normal fear. Any human being would be a little scared in that situation. But there were some people that had a terrible fear. But there were also stories of people who were smiling as they died. People who were rejoicing, knowing they were about to see Jesus.
Wow.
Think of that. Being able to go right into death. Understanding, I am about to see Jesus. If that's not real to you right now, it won't be real to you when that happens in your life. But you can have that kind of relationship with the Lord now. Listen, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody. I still don't feel as near to Jesus as I want to be. I think that's something we'll have to deal with until we're there. But always wanting to be nearer and nearer. And if our time comes and we see it coming, being able to smile and praise the Lord. Lady, 20 years ago, one of the first funerals I did, a lady on her deathbed, weeping, talking to her own family. And this hits home for me. Looking at her own children. What a brave woman facing death, smiling because she knows she's about to see Jesus, looking at her own children saying, my only fear is I don't believe I'm going to see you in heaven.
Wow.
In her death, two of them made professions. And I just pray they were sincere, they're saved, and they're going to see the mom.
Amen.
Folks, what a way to go. But what a way to live life. Amen?
Amen.
Nearer to God. And the reason it hits home, I don't feel sorry for myself, but I have some pretty bad moments with my health. And you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning having trouble breathing. It crosses your mind. Breathing is very underrated. But I'm here to tell you, there's something wonderful about having the only worry is, dear Lord, if it's going to happen, just I don't want to linger. Amen?
Amen.
I just don't want it. Just don't let me linger. Take me now. I'm ready.
Amen.
It may sound funny, but a lot of people say it's not death that I'm worried about. It's the dying part. Amen?
Amen.
And as a Christian, even in the dying part, we know He's going to be with us.
Amen.
Right there all the way.
Amen.
I hope I didn't beleaguer that point, but let's sing the closing two verses of this song, Nearer, My God, to Thee. Verse 4.
Then with my waiting thoughts, with Thy praise, nearer, my God, to Thee.
that first verse a cappella.
Nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee, in the way be a cross that raiseth me. Still though my song shall be
Let's go to prayer. Father.